We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, Mike Tomlin in a chipper mood today for day one of OTAs. Pardon me. You like pardon me more than excuse me? I'm more of an excuse me guy.
Depends on the situation. Depends on the setting. Excuse me is for a physical movement. You'll pardon me if I don't give you what you want. Excuse me if I don't say what you want me to say or give you the answer I want, I think is aggressive. I think in the pardon me,
there's fake politeness there.
Well, I think the excuse me is the hey chief of that sort of statement.
There's some patronizing going on.
You'll excuse me if
some
I don't
condescension.
Get you what, when you say you'll excuse me if I don't give you what you want, that sounds bad. That's fighting words.
Well,
you say you'll pardon me if I can't give you the answer.
What did Mike Tomlin think Dejan was going for with that question? What did he think Dejan wanted in that answer that he felt compelled to say, pardon me?
I think he wanted some sort of definitive sense or an inside, who had the inside track, some sort of sense of how that those three horses were running or Tomlin wanted them to run. And he said, those horses are just out there grazing.
I don't think
Dejan
wanted that. I think Dejan has been at this long enough.
You think he wanted Tomlin? You think he wanted to come clean and in great detail?
Brought to you by Wetco. There's our first.
Is that about right?
Yeah, I'm going to count that as a read.
Why wouldn't you? Look at Donnie. He's got his pen and paper out.
No coach and very few coaches in NFL history have flipped their cards face up there in that situation.
Yep.
So Dejan knows how this works. I think he was just looking for a soundbite or a quote, and I think he pretty much got one there. But the great thing about this is there was an open portion of practice, and reporters were able to use their video cameras to show you the order in which quarterbacks got reps. There was a chain of command today. Now, Mike Tomlin could hide behind and say, look, the way we started today doesn't matter. That's why I had Chris Oladukun out there with Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. See? None of this matters.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that.
No, he
had
didn't.
Mitch Trubisky as the number one quarterback, Mason Rudolph 2, Kenny Pickett 3 on day one. That's how they start. That is, for all of our listeners, this is the first official, in air quotes, Steelers quarterback's depth chart. That's how they're going to start this race. Trubisky 1, Rudolph 2, Pickett 3. How does Chris Mueller feel about that?
No problems. None. Fine with it. Didn't Ben Roethlisberger start 3 in his first rookie year? Or his first rookie year, redundant.
And look how that worked out.
Well, there were injuries
Hall
and everything
of Famer,
else.
One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I mean, that's how they started him. And I think that's how a lot of places, let me put it this way. You take a quarterback number one overall, I don't even think necessarily it's a done deal that he starts the
now,
the
but both
first
of those guys
run
ahead
of OTA.
Of Ben, both of those guys ahead of Ben were more accomplished and better than what at least the Steelers have in. Well, now that I say this out loud, would you say that Trubisky was more accomplished than Batch and Maddox?
I don't think there's a huge gulf there.
Maddox had won a playoff game. Trubisky's never done that.
Correct.
Batch's career was better than Rudolph's.
Correct.
So I would say overall that quarterback depth chart was better than this one.
I don't think that's a good enough excuse, though, to jump Kenny Pickett over any of them.
No, I agree with you on that.
I'm at peace with it. I just think it's it's one of those subtle Tomlin messages. Oh, we drafted this kid 20th overall. We loved him, but he's still going to find his way. He's going to have to walk up that ladder. He's going to have to fight his. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay. I think that that's the way it should be. I don't think that Kenny Pickett wants anything handed to him. I think Kenny Pickett wants to I think he thrives in these competitive atmospheres. I think it's a very sharp, smart coaching stratagem by Tomlin. Let's not, you know, with Najee Harris, it was actually the opposite, though. I will point that out. They had him number one from this point in OTAs. They didn't screw around and say, well, Benny Snell has started games for us, Najee, so wait your turn, big boy.
Boy,
no, they had him out there with the number one guys from the very beginning. And Snell had had 100-yard games, so it's not like he was a total unknown commodity.
Running back and quarterback are totally different, though.
I would agree with that, too. So the part about, see, I actually think for the purpose of our conversation, the big story is where Pickett starts and the fact that he's going to have to leapfrog two guys over the next few months to become their number one quarterback week one. But I think actually the most interesting person in this is Rudolph to me. Because Rudolph as the incumbent, there was all kinds of speculation over the last 24 hours from some Steelers media people that Rudolph was actually going to be the number one quarterback today. And that he was going to get those reps because he's familiar with the offense. He has started games for the Steelers before. How many times has Kevin Colbert or Art Rooney said he has a winning record as Steelers starting quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Tomlin, without ever really having Mitch Trubisky in his on his field, on his grass,
in his orbit,
said, I already think you're better than Mason Rudolph.
Well, he's got a better NFL track record than Mason Rudolph. One season of knowing the playbook notwithstanding, he's been a better NFL quarterback. It's not necessarily saying a whole lot.
But I'm saying there's no incumbent nod for Rudolph. Like, you're the guy who's been here the entire time. Why don't you show these two newbies how it's done?
There shouldn't be.
Well, then that's why I think if I was Rudolph, I would immediately, after talking to the Adam Crowleys and Mark Cabales of the world today, and Jeff, who's going to join us in a few minutes, I would have been on the phone with my agent and said, yeah, I'm pretty much done here.
There's like a subset of Steelers media, though, that seems to think that it's a non-zero chance he wins the starting job out of camp. Like, it's this. Here's what I can detect it being, and I don't think the people saying it are necessarily, like, I don't know, being malicious or calculated. I just think there's a desire to maybe be right here, and that they're willing to take the stab at the idea, oh, I was the only person saying way back in May that Mason Rudolph might have a chance. Man, haven't we seen enough? Even with 1 year in the playbook, he is the guy that least fits.
Well, Tomlin has already.
No, I know, but like, he's the guy that least fits everything Matt Canada purportedly wants to do. Trubisky's the better athlete, so is Kenny Pickett.
We've seen him fail, too.
I
just feel like making Rudolph three would have been an ultimate slap in the face. Having him start there would have been, you might as well, I mean, there's almost nothing you can do to win this job, buddy.
I think having him start second means you better be unbelievable to do two things. Either A, somehow overtake Trubisky if he falters. You better be unbelievable to beat out Kenny Pickett for the backup job, one or the other.
Well, see, I don't think they'll have Pickett as the third string guy, no matter what. I think they learned their lesson with Rudolph, actually. You're going to do a disservice to a guy if you don't even get him ready every week as the backup quarterback and have him working. Like, if you're the third stringer, you're learning the other team's offense probably more than you're learning
your own during the week. You're simulating a player.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the third stringer. Well, it is funny to like imagine, hey, Mason, you're
week
Lamar
one.
Jackson this week.
Week one, Kenny Pickett. Everyone's compared you to Joe Burrow. Well, great, because you're going to be Joe Burrow in practice for us this week. How about that, kid? Get used to it.
I think you could pretty much say that Mason Rudolph's career as a Steelers starting quarterback died the minute Duck Hodges beat him out in season and was deservedly so. You could probably put the headstone there right there for his career as a Steelers starter.
It just took a lot longer for the Steelers and a lot of people who cover the Steelers and even a lot of our listeners to come around to that, Chris.
Why do you think that is? Because that's the part I can't figure out. I don't think you and I are stupid. I think quite the opposite. I think Donnie Football, as his name would suggest, we're all keen observers.
For two reasons, I think, it took so long. Number one, he has the look of a old school traditional quarterback. He has the look of pocket quarterback, big tall guy, sits in there, makes throws. Football fans here like that. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you get the subset of Steelers fans who are probably...
You're saying that's why fans fell in love with him or the team?
I'm saying that's why fans... Well, I think Kevin Colbert probably
I was going to say Mike Tomlin wants a mobile quarterback. He's a statue compared to that.
I know, but I think... that's what attracted. That's what Colbert liked about him.
Looked the part.
And I think
fans
think that too.
Okay.
Old school quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other one is there's a subset of Steelers fans who are very anti-Ben and feel like because of the way Ben treated Rudolph from right off the bat, he poisoned the well from day one, and the guy really never got a fair shake or a realistic chance here. And so they feel sorry for Rudolph.
Yep.
Because they don't think the amount of games he's played or the circumstances in which he's played are enough to determine whether or not he's good.
Completely disagree with that circumstances part and the amount, frankly. He got the chance to be the man when Ben went down with the elbow injury, when he was an even younger but not so young that you would think he would be completely overmatched.
But then the Myles Garrett thing happened, and look at all the backup running backs and wide receivers they had in that game.
Hodges was the better quarterback that year when he was on the field, and the team clearly bought into him more, even though his physical skills were considerably less than Mason Rudolph's. Sorry. He had his chance. That's just the bottom line truth. He had his chances. And you know what? I think it's pretty well established that I'm a Ben hater. Two things can be true. Ben could have treated him like crap, and Mason could have been treated perfectly by Ben, and it still wouldn't have made an ounce of difference. Like, I think he's gotten an eminently fair shake from every group but the team for not hiring a quarterback's coach to actually help him along early in his career.
Tweet comes in, if I were Rudolph, I would feel better about things because I start ahead of Pickett. Well, that is a very small victory. That is a really clinging to the smallest of wins. Because I guess that
he started third, it would have meant a guy that has never taken an NFL snap or run an NFL practice is better than you.
Technically, the listener is right. If Pickett started ahead of Rudolph, then it's 100% curtains. You might as well, it's voluntary. You might as well go home now, right? You might as well just say,
well, he might
I'm
as well volunteer
here.
To leave.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? Could you see Tomlin thinking, not that Rudolph would walk out, but we see in college all the time,
kid realizes what his lot is in a battle.
Well, don't you think, just this is you and I talking out loud, don't you think one of the reasons why Narduzzi hasn't named Slovis the starter yet is because he didn't want Patty to transfer?
I would think so.
I think so.
You keep the, not the illusion necessarily, but you keep plausible deniability that it's still an open competition.
Yeah.
And the kid tells himself,
and now
maybe I really can win this job.
Right, and Rudolph thinks, okay, I'm ahead of Pickett.
I just got to beat Mitch Trubisky. Who's Mitch Trubisky?
He sucked in Chicago. I know the offense. He doesn't.
You think he admits to himself, I've sucked here so far? Probably not.
Rudolph?
Yeah.
No, I think Rudolph believes in the excuses that I laid out before. I think Rudolph really...
The player has to be the last person to lose faith in themselves, but man.
I'm gonna surprise you with something. I think Rudolph hates Ben more than Ben hates Rudolph.
Why?
Yes.
I think you're saying that because it makes Rudolph look even worse.
No, listen to me. Hear me out on this. For Roethlisberger, there's a disdain for the guy, clearly, because he thought, you're coming in here to take my job.
Sure.
But in the grand scheme of things, for Ben, Rudolph really never... Ben didn't get, he's got bad blood with the Steelers. He's not getting pushed out the door because they wanted to give Mason a shot. So ultimately, Mason Rudolph did nothing to hold back or hurt Roethlisberger's ultimate career, ultimate legacy. But if you flip it, Roethlisberger absolutely did that for Rudolph. Rudolph can look at the Roethlisberger relationship and draw rational conclusions that this guy screwed me over here.
Did Ben tell them not to hire a quarterback's coach, though?
I think that was implied, yeah. I think so.
You think Ben told the team, don't hire a quarterback's coach?
I don't think it was because he wanted... I don't think he said it in a way that made it obvious that he wanted to stunt Rudolph's growth.
Okay.
But I think he's like, I want to work with Fichtner, make him do both. I want Fichtner...
The team still could have said, we're hiring an extra quarterback's coach.
I know that.
So I can't... Much as I would love to blame Ben for every single ill that has befallen the Steelers in the last decade or whatever, and Lord knows I have tried and will continue to try, I can't quite get there on that
one.
I
think absolutely that Ben did things to make it harder for Rudolph to be their starting quarterback. 100%.
Which is just pure spite at that point because he truly wasn't a threat
ever. I think Brett Favre did things like that to try to make Aaron Rodgers' life more miserable and harder.
Well, yeah, the difference between Rodgers and Rudolph is one is an all-time great.
Yes, one actually was a first-round pick, and the other had a first-round grade. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you think Rudolph hates Ben more than Ben hates Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even blame Rudolph. But usually, like, a story of greatness is motivated by a chip on the shoulder. This should be even more evidence that Rudolph's never going to be great because
exactly.
He has a huge chip on his shoulder, and it seems that it's impugned his throwing ability.
Well, and we're going to hear him later, and he admits that there's a new chip on his shoulder. Actually, now he has chips on both shoulders, Chris.
Does he have to get that shoulder cleaned out?
He didn't have a good deep ball to begin with. Now...
Well, no, I thought that was the only good thing. And a little nice
his
touch on the
deep ball. Is goes up
it's
in
a nice
the air
rainbow.
Like a punt.
It's a Jeff Blake rainbow. But Jeff Blake would toss him out there to Darnay Scott and Carl Pickens, and they'd just land right in the breadbasket.
Now, that's come up with a more recent example of a guy that threw the ball like that.
Aaron Rodgers throws those Hail Marys that way.
Doesn't know about those old Bengals teams.
When I say Jeff Blake throwing to Darnay Scott and Carl Pickens, does that conjure up a memory, Donnie?
He's just learning.
I know Corey Dillon. I know Jeff Blake.
Ha!
He has no idea who Darnay Scott is, and he has no clue.
What about Carl Pickens?
Nope. See?
Hmm. That's a little troubling that you know Blake, but you don't
remember
know Pickens.
Think about your audience. We're speaking to our audience.
Well, Donnie's
not distilling our audience down to Donnie
Donnie's
football.
Just one age of many in our audience. There are numerous people my age and older and even slightly younger who think, Pickens, damn it. Scott, damn it. Mm. And then they think about Jeff Blake throwing the ball off their TV screen only to have it land well behind the Steelers defensive back, usually Chad Scott, maybe Dwayne Washington, who was trailing those guys.
Do you infer from this today that Tomlin's preference is for Trubisky to be their starter week one? If he's already anointing him number one on the depth chart?
I don't infer that right off the bat. I infer that Mike Tomlin, I think, is taking the simplest path in laying out his depth chart. Most accomplished overall quarterback by a considerable margin. He's made the playoffs twice, even if he was along for the ride, especially the second time. Takes precedence over a guy who's been a career backup who, under Mike Tomlin's watch, like Mike Tomlin has been the coach of record in games Mason Rudolph could have won and didn't. So I think that guy has to be number two. And then I think just on principles, even if it's a first-round pick, the guy who's never taken an NFL snap is number three. That makes sense to me.
Here's a good question tweeted in. If Colbert is still the active GM, is Rudolph one and Trubisky two on the depth chart today?
No. Because Colbert would have been the guy making the deal or signing off on the deal to get Trubisky in the first place. That would be... in my mind, an endorsement of his skills. Wouldn't it be for you?
Yeah, but they're still paying Trubisky like a backup, too. And I do put a little bit of stock in that because I've always felt like Colbert was Rudolph's biggest advocate.
Because he's the guy who said first-round grade.
Yes.
You think Colbert felt some... Do you think Kevin Colbert on some level, nice guy, salt of the earth, a true Pittsburgher through and through, almost felt some sort of obligation to defend Rudolph because he knew his quarterback was crapping all over him, his starter? Like, he wanted to shield the guy a little bit once in a while?
Well, he's in the building every day, so I think he probably...
I'm Kevin Colbert. I can't rip Ben publicly and say he's acting childish in the way he's handling Rudolph or like addressing Rudolph. So I'll try to pump up the kid's tires a little bit.
I think if Ben had been more amenable to Rudolph being on the team, some of the things they did as far as like a support system for Rudolph, I think would have been very different. And they would never admit that.
Do you think Kevin Colbert regrets it the way he regrets not adding an offensive lineman last year?
I don't think to the same degree because at the end of the day, it's still a third-round pick.
But he said it at a first-round grade. And I think what would be very strange to me is if they let Ben at all, like subtly or unconsciously dictate how they were going to handle Rudolph in terms of like staffing around him. Like, wouldn't you think Colbert would feel bad that a guy he picked, a guy he set at a first-round grade, they didn't give him a support system because the starting quarterback was, like, jammed up about it?
I think for almost two decades...
I would think he'd have some regret there.
With very rare exception, what Ben wanted, Ben got. With some very notable exceptions over the years, a few here and there. But in this case, I don't think they wanted to... I mean, Ben pretty much got Todd Haley fired, who had a... pretty good resume.
Best offensive coordinator they've had in the last several years. I mean, it's a pretty easy win.
How's Donnie looking at the Steelers depth chart today? Rudolph won.
No, no, no.
Our Trubisky won.
A Freudian slip.
Trubisky won, Rudolph two. Our boy Kenny Pickett, Big Ken third.
I'm not worried about it at all.
So you're still betting on Horse Pickett to be their week one quarterback?
I think Trubisky will probably be the week one guy.
Is that who you want to be it? Like, who do you want to be the week one starter?
I mean, I'm going to root for Kenny, but...
You think it's best for Kenny's career that he's the week one starter?
Not necessarily. I won't mind if he's...
You want him to get to walk into the pool, down the steps, and then start swimming.
Yeah, I won't mind if he's hanging out for a month. Just kind of learning how... You know, just getting the NFL speed down.
Do you give Rudolph any shot to be the starter or the number two?
If something happens to Trubisky and Pickett, sure.
I would, and some of the notable free agents.
And Chris Oladokun trips down the steps while carrying deer meat.
I think at least that Oladokun has a better shot of being on the roster week one than Mason Rudolph
does. I would
agree
with that. I also would say Mason Rudolph, if it's between starter and number two quarterback, has an infinitely better chance to be the starter than he does the number two, because I don't think he waits in purgatory. So he's either going to be the starter somehow, which I would put at an under 5% chance in week one, or he's going
to
be off
the
roster.
I'm excited to talk to Jeff about this, because there was a weird undercurrent of Steelers media who thought that Rudolph was going to get first-team reps today. And he didn't. So what does that mean pertaining to his future? And we'll ask Jeff about some of the other big headlines today, including a couple of the big-name Steelers who were not in attendance, Stephon Tuitt and Deontay Johnson.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fan Hotlines presented by Nemecol. Around every corner, Nemecol creates real-life magic for guests. Steelers Insider, 93.7thefan.com. A very busy man today. Jeff Hathorn joins us. Brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. Ryan Scarpino, Mulsey, do you remember him?
Yes.
Used to work in media relations, would be the middleman between the Steelers players and coaches and us.
No, I like Ryan a lot.
Me too. Tweeted this a half hour ago. I keep reading they're voluntary. The Steelers have 10 players with 6 or more years of experience in this league. If you're not one of those 10, you should be there. Deontay Johnson does not have 6 or more years of experience in this league. Jeff, what was the reaction to Johnson not being there today and also blowing off that camp over the weekend?
Sounds like somebody's cleaning a rug in the background.
Hello?
All right, we'll try that one again. You ever seen somebody just beat a rug with like a tennis racket? That was weird.
That was bizarre. That was very strange.
It sounded like the connection that he was on was just trying to get started like a motorboat that wouldn't turn over.
This is one of those weird things where you have to ask a player or a coach to confirm a player's absence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to ask about both here because Tomlin confirmed that Tuitt wasn't there.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Now,
are you walking back already?
Well, somebody, a reporter that was there, posted that Johnson wasn't there and took the tweet down.
Uh-oh. You think somebody got but to them and said,
but
hmm.
But it's not one of our guys.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Is it a person who blocks me?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you never know for sure in those cases.
Let me double check. Do we have Jeff back?
All right. Hi, Jeff.
Let me double check that I see this right. Jeff, you there now?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, we heard some noise in the background.
Yeah, sweet.
It looks like we have our first reporting foul from OTAs because Stocky tweeted that Deontay Johnson wasn't there and then had to take it down. Have you suffered any wrath yet at the hands of Steelers PR, Jeff?
Not yet, but this interview isn't over.
You're right, it's only beginning.
Where would Stocky have been going off as like the favorite to run afoul of Steelers PR first?
No, I don't think so. Not even close.
I'm just trying.
No,
the only thing I can say about this without Jeff getting in trouble is the Steelers sent out a lot of video from practice, and we were allowed, as our reporters were, to shoot some of it. And Johnson has not been in any of the videos or pictures I've seen. So we'll leave it at that with Jeff. I don't want to get him in hot water. Although if Jeff can't go there, I think we had 9 other reporters that were at OTAs.
Yeah,
today.
What was going on with that, Jeff? Roundtree was there, which okay, I expect you and Josh. Crowley was there. Mac was there.
Yeah, where were our invites?
Yeah, Chris was a last minute ad. Was kind of a surprise ad. Adam, we had talked about because we knew today was going to be nuts. There would be multiple people to talk to, so to try to get as many people there, and Adam. I had volunteered to be able to go out since it's right after his shift. So, yeah, that's why Adam
and
was
Chris
there.
Threw his hand in the pile late.
And he's getting praise from Kabali for it, which I think is kind of a passive-aggressive shot at the two of us, is how I'm taking that.
He must have bought him lunch.
So, from what we saw on tape today, Trubisky, when you guys were able to watch, won first reps. Rudolph, second reps. Pickett, third reps. Jeff's take on the order that was used today at OTAs.
I wasn't surprised. I thought, and I think I said it with you guys and also with the morning, that I thought Mitch would get the first reps. Just because they brought him in, he's the most experienced guy. Not the most experienced with the team, but the most experienced overall. The most starts in the league. I was not surprised by that. Now, Mike Tomlin was quick today. He actually did the finger point about how no one's going to win or lose a job out here in shorts in May. And he's right. I mean, what they're doing out there is not like full hardcore training camp type things that we all watch it. Well, back at St. Vincent this year.
All right. Well, then just have Oladokun go with the first team then if it doesn't matter. Of course,
I think
matters.
That would have been awesome.
Of course, there's something to be read into it. We don't need to say that it's set in stone. But
correct.
The order is not completely insignificant, Chris.
I agree with that.
No, I would say the order is not completely insignificant. I would also. Would you agree with this statement about the quarterbacking situation, that there is a better chance, maybe not a good chance, in fact, definitely not a good chance, but a better chance that Mason Rudolph would win the starting job than he would just end this camp and everything else and go into the season as the backup, that he's either going to be the starter or off the roster, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I think being the starter is obviously a long shot, and then beating Pickett out to be the number two, I think, has the potential to be a long shot. But I think a lot of that depends on Kenny. I mean, I think Kenny has the opportunity to write his ticket here. If he is outstanding at training camp, I do expect Trubisky to get the nod to be the guy. Pickett would have to blow him away. But if he does, I mean, he's got an opportunity to kind of set himself on whether he's the one, two, or three.
Jeff, what do you make of everything we heard about Stephon Tuitt from various people? Cam Hayward talking about him. What was your overall sense and takeaway of that situation?
So I was in when Tomlin said, hey, these are voluntary. But I was also there with Cam. I mean, you, Cam's face, he's never been this confident in what he was saying about Tuitt. And he seemed almost excited and relieved, like, hey, I'm not just giving you something that I have to give you just to say something. Mm-hmm. Like, I've talked to him. He says he's going to be there. He says he doesn't know when, but he says he's going to be there, that they just talked yesterday. They've talked often. He said, you know, he brought up the point that he's been busy getting his degree from Notre Dame, that he got with, you know, in Jerome's class, I guess, essentially. And that he's also been moving. His family's been moving stuff and been dealing with some other things in regards to life. But he sounded very confident, and that he thought, he said that he's working now, that and wherever he is, that he is, you know, he's working out, and he expects him to be the old Stephon Tuitt when the season rolls around.
Wow.
Do you buy that last part? That okay. If he does play, Jeff, do you buy Hayward saying that he expects it to be the same usual Stephon Tuitt?
I mean, that might be a little optimistic, because he pointed to himself when he had that pec injury and missed most of the season, was able to come back, and how motivated he was and excited he was. I think this might be a little different because, you know, the year prior and then missing all of last year, that it might be a little bit more rust on Stephon Tuitt. But I don't think my impression of Tuitt was that he was not selling us a bill of goods. That he, if he wouldn't have believed what he was saying, he wouldn't have gone as far to say that Stephon Tuitt will be here at some point.
So the next date that matters here is the mandatory minicamp, right?
Correct. That's, what, 3 weeks from now.
Okay. And if he's not here for that, then
we start to get a little concerned that he's not going to be here.
A little concerned.
A lot concerned.
I would think he's
yes.
done if he's not here for mandatory minicamp.
Yes.
Yeah, even if for some reason he's still rehabbing or doesn't take part in everything, that's at a point where, and I don't think the team would, but the team could fine a player for not being there. So, yeah, it's a lot more serious. And I think his teammates want to see him. So I would expect him to be here from what we heard today.
Okay. Jeff Hathorn with us. Offensive line. Mason Cole confirmed that he was working at center.
Yes. Kendrick Green confirmed that he worked at left guard. And this was a little interesting nugget from Green. He said that last year his confidence at center was a 2. But now it's a 6.
Is that because he doesn't have to play there anymore?
But think about it. You rushed this rookie into starting when his confidence level was a 2 at the position. Now, granted, it's not like they had 7 other options. But I thought that was eye-opening to me, that even he felt, and looking back at it, that, you know, he wasn't very confident at that position in Ben's final year, and that's kind of what they were, you know, putting out there in a year where they were trying to, and they did make the postseason, but they were, you know, trying to have that magical last Ben season.
Well, Jeff, I meant to be somewhat flippant with saying because he doesn't have to play there anymore, but it's like if he's a 6 now with his confidence at center, but he's working at left guard, early returns on day 1 of OTAs would suggest that the ship might have sailed already and that he's not going to have to worry too much about playing center ever again.
I will say this, and we've seen this with Tomlin at OTAs and other of these type of workouts, where he has moved guys around to see their position flexibility, and he could very well be seeing, you know, what he can do at that position. We also might see some, you know, Kevin Dotson kind of told us that he might be playing a little right tackle during this time, but he expects
right guard,
but he expects to be the left guard. I think sometimes we can read too much into, at this time of year, guys that are moving around on the offensive line, because they very well just may be getting a look to see how somebody looks.
Jeff, going back to Stocky saying Johnson wasn't there and then having to take the tweet down, does he get banned now from OTAs? How does this work with the Steelers when there's a breach of protocol? Mm. Do you guys get fined? Do you get reprimanded? Is it just a terse text? Take us through what Andrew Stocky is having to deal with right now from the Steelers overlords.
It's a reprimand. And then if it gets to the point where there are multiple occasions, you know, they can threaten to take your credential away and threaten your access.
So he gets a mulligan.
And your station. I would assume so. I mean, I wasn't in, but I would think it's like, hey, Andrew, And if he wouldn't have, you know, responded right away, I think that would have changed their mindset. But, you know, we're trying our best to keep with these rules, and there's rules about how much video we're allowed to show. There's all these different NFL rules, mm-hmm. mainly to protect the team's websites.
What do you mean by that? I don't get what do you mean protect their websites?
Well, I mean, they only want us to show so much video, but if you go to the Steelers website, you can see, you know, however much video you want.
Well, what are they trying to do? Put us out of business?
Yes.
Not put us out of business, but, you know, they're selling their
They want to control the message, Pony. Come on, this is media. This is like media ethics 101.
And that's an NFL rule. That's not a Steeler rule. So I don't want people to think, oh, the Steelers are just doing this. No, that comes from the top.
Okay. Right from Goodell.
Yeah, well, another thing we can blame him for.
Right from the Washington and Jefferson grad who doesn't donate money back to that school, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard that too recently, because I was asking somebody that, yep. that their programs have been so good. Like, oh, you must be getting a lot of money from Roger. And the coach, who I won't use his name, said, not 1 cent. I thought, wow.
You know, given that school's reputation, though, even though Goodell makes like $40 million a year, I feel like there are some even deeper pocketed people there that could be donating money.
Like who? Dale Lally?
See it at Washington, Jeff? I thought he went to like a Pitt something or other. I thought he was like a Pitt Johnstown hooper.
I thought
hooper.
He like lived there.
He lives in the area.
Okay.
So do you, Pony. You live in Washington County.
I do.
You live in the area.
Well, so did Eric Hagman. We know where he was donating his money.
I mean, you could barter a chicken for, like, free tickets to an event.
I don't have them yet, Jeff. I haven't cleared that with my HOA. Don't try to get me in
trouble. But our listeners have spoken, Jeff, and the majority want Pony to put a chicken coop on the property, I think almost exclusively, so they can laugh at him when it goes belly up.
Jeff, we'll check out your reports at 93.7thefan.com. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Amanda was looking into renting the coop and chickens.
Ah, rent, don't buy.
Where they would handle all that. You'd have the chickens for a few months, and then they'd take them back. And I said, I hate that idea because I'm going to get attached to these things.
Because you're going to name them. And then eventually you're going to eat them.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you can't name the chicken you're going to eat someday.
You can't eat the chicken you're renting.
True. So she just wants chickens to hang out at your house for a while?
No,
lay eggs,
she
and then
tried
peace?
To say last night that I exaggerated how much she wanted
no,
to have
you've
the chickens.
Definitely never exaggerated anything
but
for the effect of the
show.
But
then she ended up for like an hour researching this rent-a-chicken idea.
Rent-a-chicken? Yes. 1-800-GET-CLUCKS?
Pretty much. 3 o'clock, we will react to what Hayward said about Tuitt, what Jeff just said about him, and also, again, I'll protect myself. We didn't see Deontay Johnson in any of the videos or pictures that the Steelers sent out from OTAs. Maybe there's one or two that we missed. Never clean your gutters again. With gutter helmet. Incident here that is creating massive waves behind the scenes at the Fan.
Some awkward tension.
So, Starkey, much like the main character from the Nintendo game Punch-Out,
Little Mac,
is trying to match up with 93.7 The Fan golfers one by one until he gets
to the top,
which is
like Mortal Kombat 2, where you'd have to climb the mountain.
Which I think before your knee injury would have been you, Malzi.
No.
Now I think it's Pompiani.
No. You're wrong again, I think.
Now it's probably Jeff.
There's two
but
people.
But I don't think
it's
there's
Jeff
any.
Jeff or Paul Alexander.
But I don't think that Joe. I think Joe looks at from an adversarial competitive standpoint. I think he's too friendly with Jeff to make Jeff like the main boss. The Mike Tyson character, I think Pompiani.
So he needs like a true adversarial.
I think
Pompiani
is that guy because Pompiani's put him down a few times and
has big timed him
with golf. And,
nobody hates, you know, nobody would inspire that hatred in Joe more than I would.
Right, but you're
I'm banged up.
Up.
But as soon as I get healthy, I will happily go up that mountain.
So Starkey began his pursuit of that number one spot
by fighting Gabby J.
By playing around with our
he's
front
a sales,
desk.
He does a lot of things.
Yes.
Andrew sales Brinzik. Assistant. He's a sales assistant. He's a front desk man. He's a Waynesburg man. He's a strong guy, Donnie.
He's a greenhorn. He's a guy that is new to the radio station and also new to golf.
Year and a half in on his golf journey.
So they go out and play together at Lindenwood.
We played golf together.
Here's the quick story, and this is why it's creating so much controversy here. We'll let all of our golf lovers out there hear this and weigh in on it.
Yes.
There are 3 9-hole courses at Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. The idea was for them to have a 9-hole match. Mm-hmm. May the best man win. No handicap. Whoever finished with the better score wins.
Yeah.
They start playing one of the 9-hole courses. Brinzik goes out and goes birdie, par, birdie.
What?
Starkey goes out and I think shoots 6, 7, 8.
Birdie, par, birdie. That's for Brinzik?
Either par, birdie, par. Or birdie, par, birdie.
Dude, you'd make it more realistic if it was bogey, par, bogey.
So he gets a huge lead on Joe.
Okay.
But there are too many people playing the course. They're backed up.
Mm. You hate to see
Joe says, clean. Brinzik's hot start erased. It's a fresh start for Starkey.
Joe hit the reset button?
He beats him in 10 holes. They had to go to a playoff. Joe wins.
So and, it's like Brinzik's first 3 holes don't count.
And
here.
So I come in here today wanting to bust Brinzik's balls like, hey, I heard Starkey say on the air that he beat you in a match play event. And Brinzik was ticked off. Pretty much said, I was on my way to blowing him out when Joe got impatient, asked me if we wanted to start playing a new 9. And I said, whatever you'd like to do, sir. And Joe.
Mr. Starkey. So they played this morning or a day ago?
I think a couple days ago.
Okay, so Joe didn't have any responsibility to get to the show. Like to get
not
to
that I know
show.
Of. If there's a
if this was a weekend, then they just had all the time in the world.
If there's a different version, well, then I'll let Joe fill in the blanks
Man,
tomorrow.
I don't know. Brinzik sounds like he was completely in command, and then a completely out-of-his-hands decision that he left up to Joe threw him off. Now, he's got to recover better than he did.
No doubt.
Although it did take extra holes or an extra hole to win. I don't know, man.
I mean, wouldn't that have thrown you off your game?
Well, I would have
everything
said, Joe,
you've
we're
done there
playing,
for the first third of the
just
match
wiped out.
Is now rendered
null and void.
Yes.
Never happened.
Donnie, I'll let you weigh in. You're a neutral observer to this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't golf, but if I'm Brinzik or whoever's playing with Joe, I would have said, well, wait a minute here. We can start on the new 9 or whatever, but we're just going to carry over what we've already done.
Man, I agree with
because
that.
Because
then it
into
turns
because,
into a 12-hole match.
Well, there's
not,
a lot of people who have argued that golf should become 12 holes for a full round lately.
Because I mean, we're just going off Joe being impatient other than, oh, I'm getting crushed here.
So would you count this as
I need to start this game over somehow.
Would you count this as a Joe win?
No.
No.
No?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Oh, I'm staying out of this one. I don't
Were they
golf
playing
enough.
Match play or stroke play?
I think stroke play.
Man, all those strokes then that Brinzik gained on him the first 3 holes should matter here. So just wiping out a great start by
Brinzik. Do you think
Brinzik
got a raw deal against Starkey?
Fairly raw, yeah. Pittsburgh rare deal. It wasn't cooked very much.
Do you think they should go out and play again and it starts at hole one with Brinzik having the lead that he carried over from the first 3 holes?
I think they need to go back to the 9-hole course at Lindenwood that they were going to play, the red course. And
I think
they just
started on
again.
Gold. And then switch to red.
Okay, so go back to gold and start over again. I would
from
say,
hole one or go
I would
to hole
say,
four?
I would say start on hole four with everybody's scores being recorded, but we've all had rain checks in golf. You'd have to call it that. Man, now I want to get back healthy, get my swing in gear, and before Mulsey, Little Mulsey 2 or right after if I get a free couple of hours, I want to play Joe in a 9-hole
match.
As
a new fresh face in golf, do you think that Joe is upholding the integrity
I think
and etiquette
Joe,
of the game
here? I think Joe's playing by his own rules, as he so often does.
Oh, wow.
And I think he won't hear that unless somebody tweets him and tells him I said it, because I know he's on Mount Le-
I am he saying so far out of this one.
Before the show, he said, Mulsey, do you want to blow off your own show and go play 9 holes of golf with me?
I mean, do you want to play like a guy who plays so fast and loose with the rules?
Playing fast is good. Playing fast and loose with the rules is not. Golf's a gentleman's game. He does count every stroke. He sent me some
well,
scorecards.
What do you mean he didn't count 3 holes for
the
strokes?
No, I mean when he plays his own ball, I think him getting impatient here is different than playing dirty. It's just he should have been more patient. That's part of the wait. You got to wait sometimes behind slow play. Call the course ranger.
Yeah, I feel like that's in the territory of golf. I mean, I will say again, I do not play, but
so you
don't guys pretty much know whenever they venture out to play around a golf, it's
so
going to take them quite some time?
So if you're Brincic, yes. Do you play this round under protest then?
Yeah, I think you lodge a formal protest with the league. You're Billy Martin here, right?
Yes.
So I have somebody, I will not name this person, two things, loves the Masters music underneath this discussion. This person is a plus handicap texting me this. That means on an average course, this person is so good, they should be expected to shoot under par.
Wow.
So this is a guy who's a friend of mine who has played on like the
so
mini tours.
So his golf bona fides we have to take very seriously here. All right, I'm listening.
Yeah, the guy's legit. I am with you, he says. No way Brincic should give up the three-shot lead. No way Starkey should claim the win.
Wow.
I'll caddy for you, Chris, in a match against Joe. Never lose.
Hold on a second, though. Joe's not to that point yet. He needs to...
Oh, Joe would have to play me with strokes.
He needs to beat some of these other up-and-comers legitimately
climb
first.
The mountain?
Yes.
He needs to climb the mountain to where Malzie is waiting
and
at,
by
the near
way,
the top of the
and
peak.
And by the way, it was not a three-stroke difference.
It was much more
than that.
How did
it was like a 7 or 8 stroke advantage.
Here's the other
after
thing
three
with,
holes.
Here's the other thing for Brincic, though. How did he melt down so completely? Like, what the hell happened?
I think
to
he
him?
Was probably in his head the entire time. Like, I had this
all
thing
right, here's,
won.
Here's the problem. Here's the one thing I'm going to say about Brincic, and you can tell he's such a new golfer. It is a mentally demanding sport. You have got to be locked
well,
in at
Well, look at what it
times.
Did to Mike Pereira on Sunday at the PGA. And so if
he played
it does
that
18th,
like he had a little Tito's in him, like Pereira.
If it does that to Pereira, it's going to do that to mere mortals like Brincic, who has given Waynesburg University a black eye.
Whose name do you think more people could spell correctly, Pereira's or Brincic's last name?
But I do think in this situation, I think Brincic has redeemed himself. He was not... Joe is his elder. Joe invited him to play.
Yeah.
He acquiesced to Joe's wishes. Now, they were... You guys are claiming they were absurd wishes.
Oh, no, but he was being very respectful of Joe. What
right.
I don't like about Joe in this is even the whole idea of, like, okay, let's move to a different nine, fine. You got maybe stuff to do, fine. I get it. You're married. You have a kid. Brincic is just, the world is his oyster. You can't come in and claim victory when the guy was skunking you after three holes, and then you functionally up and move.
See, I'd also make the argument if I'm Brincic, saying, Joe, you've been asking every single person inside of this building to play golf, and now you're the guy who all of a sudden has something going on and you don't have enough patience to get done with nine holes.
Is you know what?
Where's
Hold
that?
On. I just realized something. Joe sent me a triumphant text about having beaten Brincic, except he called him Cornelius. He said it took 10 holes, one extra hole. He left out this whole part. So he was out there tooting his horn.
And isn't
to me.
And isn't showing patience in adverse situations
part
of the game?
Yeah, it's part of the game. I mean, I'm a fast player. Like, I love to go up. I don't even take practice swings.
Wow.
And I absolutely get thrown off when I'm forced to play slow. But I do it.
Now can you guys understand how this was creating waves behind the scenes?
It's got me fired up. It's got the old heart racing here, Donnie. I'm fed up, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I think Brinzik's a gossiper who sometimes goes out there and tries to start his own fires.
We got a text from Craig.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
As boss of the radio station.
Oh, crap.
As Joe's boss, I declare the results of the match null and void.
Let's go! Let's go!
Joe has not technically defeated Brincic.
Yes! Justice prevails!
Wow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.